Reading with your kids.
Hola, ni hao, konnichiwa, assalamu alaikum, shalom, mahaba, ciao, bonjour, namaste. Jumbo! Bienvenidos! Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Jed Lee, and this is Reading With Your Kids. We are beaming out to the world from the book-loving neighborhood of Reedville, the cutest little neighborhood in all of Boston. We are so very happy and so very honored that you're joining us in our mission to help all families grow closer through reading. We do that by sharing fun, thoughtful, and thought-provoking conversations with absolutely fascinating people who just happen to be writing books for kids of all ages. Please join us in this mission by telling all of your family and friends about the show. Tell your kids' teachers, their principal, their librarian, tell the school crossing guard that they can hear us on the WREB AM-FM 24/7 radio network, and they can find us on the iHeartRadio app, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, CastBox, Audible, Player FM. Wherever you find your favorite shows, you can find Reading With Your Kids. Two really wonderful guests for you today. C.S. Jennings joins us first. He is here to celebrate his new picture book. It's called Whoa, Panda! And later on in the show, Nancy Tavares will be joining us to celebrate two picture books, Chicken Coop Chaos and A Chicken Coop Chaos Christmas. Get ready, adventure fans. Toby Baxter is back. In I Heart River Home, the fourth thrilling book in the Adventures of Toby Baxter series, written by Tim Wright, 13-year-old Toby dives into his most unexpected quest yet. He's battling trolls, navigating the sandpit of love, and getting stuck with an L-O-V-E compass. But when the girl of his dreams, Rainy, is kidnapped, Toby must summon more courage than ever before. All four books in the Adventures of Toby Baxter series have been honored as Reading With Your Kids certified great reads, each packed with fast-paced action, humor, and heart. So grab your copy of I Heart River Home today and join Toby on an unforgettable journey through River Home, where every page is an adventure. Hey, I want to let you know that this episode of Reading With Your Kids is brought to you by Chicken Coop Chaos by Nancy Tavares. Are you ready for some barnyard fun your kids will absolutely adore? Then you've got to check out Nancy Tavares' delightful books, Chicken Coop Chaos and Chicken Coop Chaos Christmas. In the original Chicken Coop Chaos, we meet Pearl, a hen who loves peace, order, and a tidy little hen house. But when Wendell the Rooster barges in and decides he's not leaving, Pearl has to hatch a clever plan to take back her space. And let's just say things get hilariously chaotic. And just in time for the holidays, Chicken Coop Chaos Christmas brings even more laughs, heart, and festive feathered fun. These books are perfect for young readers, classrooms, and family read-aloud time. So flap on over to your favorite bookstore or online retailer and grab your copies of Chicken Coop Chaos and Chicken Coop Chaos Christmas today. Your kids will be clucking with joy. Join us right now from the great state of Texas. Our guest is here today to celebrate his brand new picture book. It's called Whoa, Panda. Please welcome to the show, C.S. Jennings. C.S., how are you?
I am wonderful, Jed. How are you today?
I am fantastic. Awesome. I love, on your website, I read that this book was inspired by, is it your niece or your cousin? A very large dog that thought he was a chihuahua.
Exactly. It was my sister's dog, her boxer, Sweet Maddie. She's not long with us anymore, but she did. She thought she was a lap dog, and she needed to learn a little bit about personal space, being an 80-pound dog.
My daughter has a dog which she will go to the grave saying, defending that it's not a pit bull.
Uh-huh. For sure.
Reasons. Who is probably also about 80 pounds and the sweetest dog in the world. And yes, sits on my lap when we're taking care of him and realize that it's a giant.
Right. Right. It's a common problem, it seems. And it almost seems like the larger the dog, the more insistent they are to sit on you. My sister now has a Mastiff, and she is 100+, and she, yeah, she wants to be a lap dog. So, yeah, I don't know what that is.
I don't, you know, as you're talking about, we had St. Bernards growing up in an apartment in the city.
Oh. Okay.
And one of the dogs was so heavy that when I went to weigh it, I had to pick it up, and I was in my best athletic shape. I was, you know, playing soccer, and picked the dog up and stepped on the scale, and the scale just tapped out. It just
maxed out.
Yes.
That is a lot of dog.
It's a lot of dog. There was a lot of me, but there was more dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think especially kids love those big giant creatures who are so lovable.
Yeah, they absolutely do. I think there's this kind of like they can a big dog is very rarely freaked out by a child, right? Mm-hmm. And they're big, the bigger dogs they're generally soft, huggable. The little dogs, like, they have to be careful. Mm-hmm. So maybe I think that's a connection too. And plus, just anything you can run and hug is pretty wonderful. So, yeah.
Run, hug, bounce off of.
Right. Have drag you through the yard.
But we're talking about a panda. So
we are.
This dog-inspired book is all about a panda.
It is all about a panda. Now, the second there was another interaction that was a direct inspiration for panda, which was a friend's. I think she was 3 years old, and she sat in my lap, and it was just this really sweet experience. I was hanging out with the family, and I had a bracelet, and she just sat and studied my bracelet for a really long time. And those two kind of events together really did serve as the kernel for this story, because even though her presence was absolutely welcome, right? Please sit in my lap. Mom and dad are there. It's just this really nice situation. But then on the other side of it, you've got, you know, my sister's dog, Maddie, who's not only sitting in my lap, but she's trying to lick my face. And, you know, it's like, oh, wow, you're really close. So that got to me thinking about really sort of the dichotomy of reactions and interactions with children and pets, but specifically children, right? Because pets can't read, and so I'm not writing books for pets. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes this question of, okay, so what is the creature? What is a creature that is safe and accessible? What is a creature that is can be cuddly, can kind of have both of those dichotomies, right? Can have the sort of wild, oh, you're on me. But then also you really do want Panda, the cute cartoon character, if you're a child, to hang out with you. Mm-hmm. So that was how Panda became a panda, because there was like, well, maybe it's a dog. Well, that is like, that's a paradigm that's really already established with children, right? Mm-hmm. They've all had their experiences with dog. Very few children have met an actual panda. So it really gave sort of a space there for that undefined new interaction, kind of blank slate, yet, you know, there's Kung Fu Panda, there are pandas in the media that certainly they've met one there. But yeah, I think that's really, because it was like, well, is it woe capybara? But no, those are kind of weird and they have big teeth. Or is it woe, tiger, that's just terrifying. Right. Which is another book. That you could get into. So, yeah, so that's why the panda was the choice for this book. And I did Nancy Paulson, once she bought the book, we talked about, okay, maybe it's not a panda. But in our discussions as we were developing the manuscript, because I wrote and illustrated this book, that's where we landed. We're like, Panda, he's the one. And, you know, with that rationale behind it, that's why we chose him.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. I love talking to author illustrators, because I love taking a peek in to a creator's kind of process. And for you, you're talking, the inspiration came from the dog and your niece. But as the story was evolving, were the pictures coming to you first, or was it the words?
That's a really wonderful question, because the truth is that with the different books that I have, sometimes it is a scribble on a napkin, or it's an idea that I just can't stop thinking about. And with Panda, there was, because the other part of this too, Jed, is the character within the book. And this is such a character-based book that identifying the look of the character and the personality of the character really does help inform the manuscript itself. So with Panda, I did it very early, and it really was just this tiny little doodle, not even, and I draw big. So this was really small for me, like an inch tall of this kind of panda who just, it was motion. And I was like, that's what I need to capture in this manuscript. And after that, then the words did come to me. I knew that I wanted to explore this idea of being too close to someone. And when I took it to a children's book workshop here in Austin, the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, which I've been a member of for 20 plus years and cannot recommend them more as an organization, presented that book to a room full of parents and teachers and librarians. And I'm not a parent. I've never had a child. And they were all, oh, well, this book is about body autonomy. That's what we're talking about here. And so one of the librarians talked about like story time and preschoolers crawling into her skirts because they don't know. And I was like, oh, okay. So I had this book that was very much first person. You're interacting with this funny creature. And that just helped me understand even more what I was doing. So the development of, was this words? Was it pictures? It really, this one kind of developed in concert together. Mm-hmm. The idea coming first, then finding that character, and then understanding the purpose even more. So I was able to shape that manuscript as I sent it to the editorial as we sent it out for pitch.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, as you're creating the character and as you're seeing it and drawing it, I often talk to authors and they'll tell me that they were surprised by something the character in their YA title or their middle grade novel did. And mm-hmm. I'm wondering, as you were drawing Panda and getting to know Panda, were you mm-hmm. surprised by anything that you got to know about the character?
Absolutely. And the surprise is one of my favorite parts of doing this. I'm constantly surprised by the things that show up in the manuscript or the things that show up on the paper when I'm drawing the character, sketching them. With Panda, what surprised me, I think one of the challenges with Panda was that it took us a really long time to get his character design down. In the submission of the book, he was an adult panda, which, and that was an early on discussion. Like, what if he's a kid and not an adult? I was like, that makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. And so then it was trying to find him sketch after sketch, Jed. I did probably 4 character submissions for him. And I think really one of the best surprises was the day that I nailed down his character design. Mm-hmm. It was just sitting, and of course, like your brain's always working on this thing, right? When you're spending time with an idea. And I was at a sketch group with some friends of mine. We get together monthly and wasn't even like we're talking about our days and our week and what our experiences are. We all work in different parts of the industry, creative industry. And my hand was just idly sketching in my sketchbook. And then there he was. There was Panda. So that was this really just like, oh, hey, buddy, there you are. So that was one of the surprises of this book that was so much fun because you really are like developing this creature that you're going to hang out with and spend some time with and then share with people. So for me, the characters are very much, and alive is probably the right word, but it is, it's finding that friend. And so that was that really one of the surprises of Panda. It was super fun.
I've mentioned this on the podcast before. We had a short series of videos on YouTube called Drawing With Your Kids, and we asked a number of our illustrators to come and draw their character. And I remember the first couple of videos, I received the video from the illustrator, and we're sitting down, and I'm looking, and the illustrator's he's drawing this line and drawing a circle over here and a triangle over there, and I'm looking, that ain't what he's supposed to be. That doesn't look. And then he just does this little mark. And then the character like magically appears on the paper.
Yep.
I'm like, how did that happen?
Yeah, that's really fun. It is fun that each one of the characters, a lot of times when I'm drawing characters, I will, it's the circle for the outside of the head, and then it's eyes and then the nose, the placement there. But it really does, I think, can seem extremely nonsensical when you're watching it happen. But then, exactly as you said, that one mark, you're like, oh, there he is. That's exactly the character. That's why we're here. So, yeah.
So I'm curious, as you're doing that, are you aware that you're just going to make that little mark and everything's going to come together? Or is you, the first time you did it, are you as surprised as I would be?
I would say I'm as surprised as you would be. Now, one of the things, because I've been doing this for 20 plus years and designing characters 20 plus years, like I have ways that I'll explore a character, right? It's the nose is here, and then the relationship of the mouth to the nose, relationship to the eyes. But it really is each one of the characters, even though I am working through what is that exploratory process, they do, when they show up, it is a surprise. It's like, oh, it's that specific little turn and its smile, or its eyebrows are big and bushy. That's what makes this character this character. So yeah, absolutely. That's the magic of this. It's like using that tool set that I've got, but then it's like, oh, there he is. That's great. Because that really is like, I think that's such a great question. Because I think that really is part of it for me with each character design. Is that magic moment, it is, and that comes from number one, exploring that way, but then the understanding of who that character is in your manuscript. So.
I know myself doing, performing, in schools for 35 years or many, many times where I would come off, say one stands out. I was doing a show for, the alumni of this youth program at a church. And I think the priest hired me because he thought it would be a goof on the college kids to have this magician.
Okay.
And at the end of the show, he came up to me and he said, I had no idea you had a gospel magic show. And I said, Father, neither did I.
What happened during that presentation that changed that for you?
Well, it was funny because my daughter, who was she was an incredible dancer, and she would come out with me and perform at a number of my shows, and she was with me on stage that night, and we started this one routine that we had done a lot of times, and we had a member from the audience up, and I just started riffing. And my daughter's on stage, and we're kind of pantomiming the story, and she does a stage whisper going, Poppy, what are you doing? And I just said to her, I goes, I don't know, baby. It's Holy Spirit. Live, just kind of go with it. Trust it, And,
right.
And she was enough of a pro that she did. And,
oh, that's cool.
And it was a blast. Yeah, but, I mean, that's, I think, something that folks who aren't in the business of creating, I don't think they can understand just how amazing and wonderful those moments are.
Oh, so much. Yeah, Jed, I did stage performance through high school and college. And And I love public speaking. Like, that's one of my things I'm so excited about. I've been in the studio working on a stack of books for 3 years, and Panda's the first one to come out where now I can go out, interact, and talk. And I really do. Oh, I love those moments that you just weren't expecting that are created by the moment, right? By where you are and what you're feeling and the way that that creative spark is that you have a relationship with is expressing itself. So yeah, it's intoxicating, honestly. it's the best drug. I haven't done any drugs, so, but I'm pretty sure this is the best one. Sorry.
No, I agree with you. It is intoxicating. It's incredible. But I think it takes, I think a lot of people don't get to experience it because there's a fear that, I'm not in control of this.
And I'm
just blessed with the fact that I made so many mistakes early in my life that it doesn't matter if I make another one. So,
well, and I think that loss of control in those situations really is, I mean, when you're doing a reading with preschool kids, you just never know what's going to happen. You never, especially when you're doing a Q&A and you raise your hand. And a lot of times they're like one, there's this one girl, and it's not the exact same girl, but the little girl who shows up and raises her hand and talks about ponies, like she's at every reading I've done, and none of my books have had ponies in them. So, but this is this wonderful kind of stream of conscious. She's so excited to share. And then what am I doing with that to, number one, make her feel accepted? And then also bring that relevancy to the rest of the children who are there, right? How do we feed into it? I can think of several moments and readings where, yeah, it's just bananas. Like, this thing, I didn't know we were going this direction. But it is just, again, it's one of my favorite things to kind of roll with. It's so great.
Yeah. I love it. It's, it is. I encourage everybody creating, using your imagination, creating something, even if it's just something for your kids as you're reading, creating a character voice. I'm curious, what voice can you imagine Panda having that we might be able to emulate as we're reading this book with our kids?
Well, gosh, that's a great question. Panda is sort of Buster Keaton or Charlie Chaplin in that he's very much just expression. Panda doesn't have... He's pre-language, Jed. I think that's a really good question. But yeah, I think Panda, boy, that's a great question. Cause I do, like, I did acting. And so I'm immediately like, does he have a voice like this? Or is it something younger? You know, I don't know. But the thing I want to speak to really quick, cause this fear and creativity relationship. One of the things that I just really hope that each person who interacts with something that I've written or, you know, on social media, I'm constantly talking about finding that place in our creativity outside of fear, because it's such a gift. And for whatever, great creativity is a gift to us in our life. And so many of us have reasons, right? The teacher who said, don't do that, or, you know, what if I'm not good at it? And I think being able to find places where you can express yourself and it's a safe place, maybe it's in just inside your sketchbook, or maybe it's dancing to music in your, you know, in a room by yourself, like taking those opportunities to intentionally face that fear, because next time you try it, it's not as scary because you already did it. And you're also engaging something within us, each one of us. It's so powerful, that human ingenuity and curiosity. And if you can get over into that place where now it's, some people call it play, right? Because play is not dangerous. That's the idea. You're running your cars around, et cetera, et cetera. But if you can find yourself where you're engaging in curiosity and ingenuity, the thing that I think is one of the fundamental parts of human beings, then the fear, sure, it still exists. I get nervous when I have to start a new project and I don't know what it is. But really the key for me is sitting down, spending time with the idea, spending time in that creative zone. Each project has a giant creative zone where I'll try any idea, any concept. There's no danger here. There's no mistakes. And then I move into the making zone where I'm taking those things, I'm forming them, I'm making my manuscripts, I'm doing my illustrations, etc. And so for me, that's one of the ways I counter just like, okay, these are 96-page graphic novels with all of these illustrations in it. Or this is a 24-page picture book, which is also like really, really in its simplicity is intricate and complex. So I really would love for people to find that creative spark and interact with it. That's my hope for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. It's such a wonderful gift.
Mm-hmm. That's a great word.
A gift that the universe gives to us and that we allow ourselves to experience.
Exactly.
Yeah. As we're talking here, I'm imagining back in the days when my kids would curl up and climb up on my lap to read a book. I'm just imagining that my kids would get closer and closer and closer to me as we're reading Wo Pan. Mm-hmm. And I think they even would have called the dog over to come on the lap too.
Good. That's what I want. Let's bond together. Let's connect and communicate love and as a family. That's so beautiful.
Beautiful. We should tell everybody where they can go to find out more about Wo Panda and all the great things coming from your imagination.
Well, thank you, Jed. Yeah, you can go to csjennings.com. That's ChristopherSeanJennings.com. So CS, like CS Lewis, but with Jennings at the end. And that is a great hub for everything me. That's going to link out to all of my social media. It'll link out into how you can have me on your podcast or come talk to your school. And also links out to Buy Wo Panda and the other things that I'm working on.
You had a great time.
Wonderful time.
Speaking about Wo Panda, speaking about creativity and just this has been a great, great conversation.
It really has been.
Yes, thanks so much for being on Reading with Your Kids.
Thank you, Jed. My absolute pleasure.
This episode of Reading with Your Kids is brought to you by Trumpet, the Miracle Wolf Pup Series. There's a brand new book in the series, and we're so excited to tell you all about it. Trumpet Becomes a Mom. In this exciting book, Trumpet and Lighthawk, now a bonded pair, start their own family with their very first litter of pups. Families can read together, schools can explore the importance of wolf packs in conservation, and Trumpet fans everywhere can celebrate this milestone in her incredible journey. Grab your copy today, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, select bookstores, and the Wolf Conservation Center, where Trumpet and her family live. Plus, 50% of all profits go right back to supporting the Wolf Conservation Center, with more donated to Lighthawk Conservation Flying. So grab your book today and have a group howl for Trumpet and her family. This episode is brought to you by onceuponadance.com. Take storytelling to a whole new level. With Once Upon a Dance, your child will do more than just listen. They'll move, imagine, and connect. It's a literary adventure and a performance all in one. From graceful turns to energetic leaps, each story brings an immersive experience that engages both body and mind. Whether your child enjoys unicorns, bats, zombies, or cats, Once Upon a Dance has a Dance It Out story just for them. Celebrate joyful movement and visit onceuponadance.com or find them at your favorite social media platform. I have a feeling this is going to be a fun episode of Reading With Your Kids. Our guest is joining us from the beautiful city of South Burlington in Vermont. She's here to celebrate two great books, Chicken Coop chaos and a chicken coop chaos Christmas. Please welcome to the show, Nancy Tavares. Hey, Nancy, how are you?
I'm great, Jed. Thank you for having me on your show.
Nancy and I were just chatting about, I've spent so much time up in her part of the world, both visiting and also performing at different schools, different events. I was telling Nancy I used to be a part of something called the Green Mountain Choo Choo that my friend Rick Norcross used to produce. And it was a wonderful gathering of restaurants in the Burlington, South Burlington area. It was right on the banks of Lake Champlain. It was great food, great people, a spectacular view. And it was always such a great time.
It was a lot of fun. I remember going there quite often with our family, and it was just fun to have a taste of all the different little restaurants in the area.
Yeah. And Vermont is such a really beautiful state. It's just such a beautiful part of the world with all the green and the trees, and with great restaurants in cities like Burlington. It's just a wonderful place to visit.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
It's a great place for families, and it's a great place for your kids to grow up.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about Chicken Coop Chaos. That's the first book in the series. Who are we going to meet in this book?
We are going to meet Pearl, who is the head chicken in the chicken coop. And she likes everything structured and ordered. And we will also meet Wendell, the rooster, who decides he's fed up being out in the cold and is moving in.
I just had this image of a chicken version of the Honeymooners pop into my head.
Oh.
Now, was this book inspired by you having chickens and roosters in your property, as so many millennials seem to have these days?
Well, it wasn't anything that we have, but I grew up in Ohio. My grandparents had a farm in Pennsylvania, and I absolutely adored being on the farm. And behind their house, they had a very interesting chicken coop. It was home to lots and lots of egg-laying chickens. It was home to guinea hens, which are small little gray hens. It was home to lots of rabbits and also a very large peacock. Oh. And as a child, I remember going there to gather eggs. And, of course, you had to look all over for them because of all the chaos in there. Mm-hmm. And I'd go in there with my sisters, and I just loved it. I loved it. I'm not sure my sisters did, but it was always so magical when you found that egg and, you know, all these things were going on around you. So my story was kind of based on that.
Uh-huh.
And then a few years ago, I had always had this idea in my head, and our neighbors next door, who have 8 children, all homeschooled, they have a chicken coop in their backyard. So I think that triggered my memory and my ideas, and from there, Chicken Coop Chaos was born.
Awesome. One of the things that Nancy was telling me is that she taught for 30 years and teaching kids reading, and she always made sure that she kept books in her classroom that would grab kids' attention. Was that right in front of your mind as you were writing Chicken Coop Chaos?
It actually was, because as a reading teacher, I came to understand what kids needed to help them be able to feel a part of the book. So when I was writing, I was using a lot of the techniques that we teach our kids, like using interesting vocabulary or using, you know, different kinds of punctuation, and also being able to make sure that the book was accessible and the story was accessible. Mm-hmm. So to me, it had to be a little bit of fun because mm-hmm. kids will react to something that is fun.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Boy, you know, one of the things I'd love to talk to you just a little bit before we talk more about Chicken Coop Chaos and a Chicken Coop Chaos Christmas. My beautiful wife taught for 34 years here in Boston, and she was teaching special needs kids. Mm-hmm. And you would think special needs, you find the technique to help that works with that particular kid, and you give them that. But it seemed even with the special needs kids, every, I don't know, 8 to 10 years, the system would come out and they'd say, you know what? Phonics isn't working for everybody, so we're going to throw it out and we're going to bring this new thing in, sight words. And 8 years later, they go, you know what? Sight words, it's not working for every kid, so we're going to throw that out. We're going to try something else, and to the point where it came back to phonics again.
Right.
Why don't schools sit down and go, you know, some kids learn with phonics and some kids learn with sight words. And so let's give the kids whatever works for them.
Right. And I think if you are teaching the harder to teach children because of, you know, any type of situation, I think you have to teach from where the child is. Mm-hmm. You look at what their strengths are. And then you plan accordingly by using those strengths and getting them where they need to be in their own realm, because not every child fits the same mold.
Right. Yeah.
And so that was really important to me. Mm-hmm. And I loved when children would come in early, right off the bus, before going to their classroom, and they'd say, Mrs. T, I need a new book for reading today. And so we'd find, you know, the perfect book for them. And I would say 99% of the time I had that book for them. Mm-hmm. And then they'd go off to, you know, start their day. And, you know, it was great. And then I even, you know, some of these kids that kept coming in and then going to their classroom saying, look what Mrs. T had for me, and getting excited about it. Then I would have children who were definitely kids that didn't need my assistance stopping by and saying, well, what do you have for me? So it was just the best time of day for me when those kids came in off the bus, all excited about finding the perfect book to take back to their classroom for reading time, and then dropping it off at the end of the day before they got on the bus. So I truly believe that every child can learn. Mm-hmm. You just have to meet them where they are.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And that certainly was the experience that my wife had in, you know, helping so many kids over the years. Did you ever sit down and I'm guessing probably not, but did you ever sit down and try to figure out how many kids did I help learn how to read?
You know, I have not done that, but I do remember, you know, over the 30 years, of course, your job description, whatever, changes a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you have to let, you know, from one year to the next, you have to let the teachers know, you know, where this child that you've been working with for a year is, and, you know, where you can see them, you know, still needing help, or being able to, you know, integrate into the classroom and, you know, just having check-ins. So at one point, I do remember having to write down, you know, I saw 30 kids, you know, this year, and these ones will need, you know, continuous support. These ones might need some check-ins and that type of thing. But I never really came up with a firm number of kids that I helped.
Well, you know, if you did 30 kids a year for 30 years, I just did some quick math. That sounds like almost 1,000 kids.
Yeah.
That's one. Yeah. So what a gift to be able to sit back and think, wow, I helped 1,000 kids develop the beautiful gift of reading.
Yeah. I think one of my proudest moments was having a student come to me who was in the middle school, actually. And he was reading on a second grade level. And so I worked with him the rest of that year, just, you know, outside of school. Mm-hmm. And then I worked with him through the summer. And every summer, I get this email from him saying, when are we going to start working? So I was very proud of the fact that he made huge progress. And he was the first one in his family to graduate high school and go to college.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. So I, you know, he's got a very soft spot in my heart for him, and I always will.
I am sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about, I mean, that was a beautiful gift, and it's a great segue into A Chicken Coop Chaos Christmas. This book is coming out in just a few days from when we're talking.
Yes, it is. It comes out on November 11th. It will be in, you know, Barnes & Noble and Amazon, any place you can get, you know, your books. And I'm very excited because the characters are back. Mm-hmm. And it seems that it's a festive picture book that will be fun to read with your children. And it embraces change and finding common ground, which sometimes is a little bit tricky, and discovering that the holiday spirit can appear in the most unexpected ways. And we will have a new character in this book that will appear at the end.
Uh-huh.
And so Pearl's going to have to kind of figure out what she wants in this chicken coop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm curious, does she want Wendell in the chicken coop?
She would prefer not to have Wendell in the chicken coop, but she has learned to accept him and uh-huh. his unique way of creating chaos. And it's interesting because my wonderful illustrator is from Wales, uh-huh. John Moore. And when she first sent me the pictures for, or the illustrations for Chicken Coop Chaos, I was a little bit surprised because it didn't match what I had in my head. You mm-hmm. know, I was expecting a coop instead of having the chickens in a house. And, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, kids are really going to laugh about that. That's going to be pretty silly and pretty funny. And she also had drawn on a couple of the pages this little tiny mouse. And so I had contacted her and said, let's put the mouse throughout the whole story. Mm-hmm. And so we did that. And in the first book, you will see that the mouse kind of has its own silent story to tell from beginning to end. And it's also an added bonus, because if you're sitting there and you're reading to children, you want them engaged in the book. Mm-hmm. And for those that can't read, they're going to be able to participate in trying to find where that little mouse is on the page. So it was something that was a really smart and, you know, cute thing to add. And the mouse is still in the new book, A Chicken Coop Chaos Christmas.
That's great. I do love that. And one of the things we suggest parents do is to, especially with a picture book, is to take a picture walk through the book before you read the text. Take a walk, yes, and talk to the kids about what it is they think the pictures are trying to tell us.
Yes. And that was something that I think a lot of the students and the children that I worked with had never had exposure to before. And so once we did that, I think it gave them a little more confidence in saying, okay, I can make a prediction, and the prediction might be right. And I might have to, when I gather more information, I might have to change my prediction. So a picture walk is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it's so much fun to see the action and, you know, kids involved in that aspect of taking the picture walk, and then being able to talk to the child as, you know, as you're reading and, you know, finding those interesting words that, you know, I've tried to sprinkle in a little bit and chat about those, the vocabulary.
That was one of the things, I've learned so much. I launched Reading With Your Kids in 2017 just because I know that the relationship I have with my now adult kids was built on a foundation of reading together.
Yes.
And that's what I wanted. Parents, read with your kids because you're going to get so close to them. And it's so much fun and they love it. And, yeah, it'll help them read. I had no idea it would help them have more empathy and, you know, they'd be more successful in business and in their professional life. All these other benefits. And, wow, it's just whatever the point was I was trying to make when I started has gone right out of my head. And I had so much passion there, too. It must be.
Yeah, well, it is, you know, it's funny. You get excited about the reading aspect and reading with your kids and, you know, knowing that in their futures, that's going to be a basis for what they're going to be doing in their lives when they have children. And it's just fun to see that, you know, you had started that maybe bedtime ritual of reading books. And then when you see your grown children doing the same thing with their children, it just, I kind of melts your heart because you know that, you know, as a parent, you were doing something really, really good.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. Boy, I'm curious, as a reading expert, if you sit down with a kid, can you tell pretty quickly that this is a kid whose parents is reading to them every night?
Absolutely. Absolutely, you can tell. Because they are the ones that are typically more engaged.
Okay.
While you're, you know, looking or reading the book. Their attention is there, whereas, you know, a child who's not being read to at home, they're going to be looking elsewhere and they're not going to really know how to interact with a book. And so, yes, I think it's quite easy to tell who's being read to and who isn't.
Yeah. And it's so important. One of the things I learned doing this podcast is that kids learn to read from kindergarten or pre-K to two. Mm-hmm. And then in third grade, they're reading to learn.
Right.
And if kids aren't reading by third grade, they're in trouble.
They are, yes. And it's interesting because sometimes you get the high flyer readers who it comes very easy to. But when they get into some harder text, you might see a little bit of a breakdown because mm-hmm. they've never had to use strategies to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I used to do is I used to try to teach strategies for helping the kids if they were stuck on something. And so they're carrying those strategies with them, whereas, you know, the children who have never had issues with reading but come in contact with harder content, they might have a harder time thinking, okay, I'm not getting this. Why am I not getting this? And might not have those strategies to fall back on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I also learned about children's books is that you can have more difficult vocabulary in a picture book, because picture books are written to be read to a kid, they are created intentionally for a parent and an adult to read together. So if they come across a word that they're not familiar with, no problem, because you have an adult that hopefully will know what that word means.
Right, right. And I think, you know, when we were teaching the kids to write, we were always telling them, you know, don't use the same old words. You want to use something interesting, something that's going to grab the readers and the, you know, listeners' attention. And in my Chicken Coop Chaos book, I was using words like skedaddled or investigate or loomed. And, you know, those are words that kids at that age probably are not attuned to.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fun to be able to, you know, stop on that page and say, wait a minute, skedaddle, that's a funny word. And then try to figure out from the picture what it means, and then have the grown up, you know, confirm that, you know, this is what that word means.
You know, I haven't heard skedaddle in an awful long time. And another word that I hadn't heard for a long time until the author came on here to celebrate his book was kerfuffle.
Oh, I love that word.
I bet there are a bunch of kerfuffles happening in the chicken coop.
There are a lot of kerfuffles happening. And I loved the ability to be able to sprinkle in some chicken humor in there. Like they scrambled like eggs in a frying pan. And let's see, Pearl had to hatch plans to get Wendell out. And I even took a little spin on cock-a-doodle-doo. Okay. So it was quick as a cock-a-doodle-doo. And it's just as fun because you know that the adult reading the book is going to get that humor.
Right.
And you know, just the fact that they might see these chickens, you know, scrambled like, you know, eggs in a frying pan, it just would be kind of amusing and enjoyable for them to be reading.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. We should tell everybody where they can go to find out more about Chicken Coop Chaos and a Chicken Coop Chaos Christmas.
You can visit Amazon, and there will be a description there. You can go to Barnes & Noble, and I have a website, nancytavarisauthor.com, and those are probably the best places to find information on both books.
Excellent. We've had a great time speaking to the author of Chicken Coop Chaos and A Chicken Coop Chaos Christmas. Our guest has been Nancy Tavares. Hey, Nancy, thanks so much for being on Reading With Your Kids.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Hey, we hope you've enjoyed this episode of Reading With Your Kids. And we absolutely hope you'll join us for the next exciting episode of the show. Hey, if this episode gave you something to think about or made you smile, please consider sharing it with a friend. Leave a 5-star review wherever you find your favorite shows. And of course, we'd love for you to subscribe to the show. We don't want you to miss a moment. And we'd love for you to connect with us on social media, facebook.com/readingwithyourkids, at readingwithyourkids on Instagram, at JetlyMagic on X. Our YouTube channel, youtube.com/readingwithyourkids, and our website, it's readingwithyourkids.com. That is the place to go if you are the author of a fantastic children's book. You can find out how to be a guest. Being a guest, it's fun, it's easy, and it gives you the chance to tell thousands of KidLit fans all over the world about your fantastic children's book. I want to thank the folks who made today's show so wonderful, starting with our guest, C.S. Jennings. Please be sure to check out Whoa Panda. Also want to thank Nancy Tavares. Please be sure to check out Chicken Coop Chaos and Chicken Coop Chaos Christmas. I want to thank my incredible team, Fatima Khan, Chris Daugherty. I want to thank my beautiful wife for all the support she gives me. Most of all, we want to thank you. Why? Well, we want to thank you for taking the time to join us today. But most importantly, we want to thank you because you are making the world a better place. Every time you sit down and read with your kids, you're helping them grow closer to you, closer to each other, closer to the world. And that makes the world a better, kinder, more empathetic place. Thank you so very much. I'll be looking for you in the next episode of Reading With Your Kids.
A brand new chance to dream to take a hand, let kindness lead. Together we have all we need. Twirling, whirling, lift your eyes. Reach for stars across the skies. With every leap, with every grin, the dance of life invites us in. Grateful hearts forever will be. A tale of twirls in our memory.